thou make in the ark, to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. I want to preach to you on the perfect ship. The only unsinkable ship ever built was not the Titanic. It sunk. It was not anything else that any other man has made. It was the one that Noah made in the Word of God. There are three arcs that are mentioned in Scripture. The first one, of course, here is Noah's ark, the great ship that floated and saved he and his sons and their wives and his wife from the flood. The second was Moses, the little ark that Moses' mother put him in and floated him around there in the bulrushes to save him from the enemy. The third was the mercy seat sprinkled ark with a blood sprinkled mercy seat that represented the presence of God. Now, all three of those arcs represent the protection of God and salvation. Some people get them confused. Like one fellow said, "Now I tell you what, I believe that Noah built that big old ark, and I believe that it floated throughout the flood, and I believe that it had all them animals on it, but I tell you, my faith gets weak when you try to tell me they carried that thing around in the wilderness for 40 years. And he didn't understand that there was the separate arks there in the Word of God. The ark they carried around in the wilderness was not this ark. They didn't carry that thing around in the wilderness. It was the Ark of the Covenant there in Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about the perfect ship being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some things in the Old Testament that are what we call double types. Now, the Ark, as far as doctrinally this morning, is a picture of Jews being preserved through the tribulation. Enoch would be a picture of the rapture of the church before the tribulation, translation of the living saints. The people in the ark would represent the Jewish remnant preserved through the flood, which is a type of the tribulation. But also this morning, the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ and you and I in Christ being protected from the wrath of God out there on a sin-cursed world. Now, the first thing I want to say about this perfect ship this morning is that it was designed by God. God told Noah, he said, "I'm the architect." He said, "I want you to build this boat, and you're going to build it just like I want you to build it." This boat wasn't made for sailing. This boat was made for floating. You didn't have to worry about launching it. The water got up under it and raised it up off of the ground. So it didn't have to be shaped, you know, to a point on the end and fixed where you could guide it. They wasn't going nowhere. They just floating around, waiting on that water to go down. Now, the Lord told Noah, he said, "You build it all these cubits." Now, translating 18 inches, which is normal for a cubit, it can be more or less, depending on their measurement of that time. The ark was 450 feet long. You compare that to the Mayflower, for example, which was only 90 feet long, and you can begin to see how big the ark of Noah was, 5 times longer than the Mayflower. And this thing was 75 feet wide. It was like a great big long box. 400, that would be over as wide as our church, but over 4 times as long as this building here. Now you put 4 of our churches end to end and you would get a little picture of how big that ark was. And not only that, it was 3 stories high, only 8 people on it. So all of those animals could get on. Sometimes you run into one of those skeptics and they'll say, "I just don't believe all them animals could have got on that boat." Next time somebody says that, ask them, do they know how big it was? They don't know. Ask them, do they know how many animals there were? They don't know that either. They're just running their mouth, trying to find fault with the Bible. There was enough room for all of them, and plenty to spare, and the food, and everything else that they needed. And it was 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, making it over this ceiling in here is 22 feet, making it more than double the height of this ceiling. Now that's a good sized boat, brother. And it was plenty big enough for everyone that wanted to get in. I believe this morning that anybody in that world at that time could have walked in that ark and been saved from the wrath of God that fell on the earth. I believe there was room for all in that ark. Now when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the same thing. There's room in Him for every one of you this morning. There's room for everybody to be saved. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. I'm glad when these boys go out preaching on the street over there in Asheville, they can stand up and say there's room. When we go into the hospitals and visit, we can look at a patient dying and say there's room. When we go out and when I preach out in these revival meetings, as I said, week before last had 25 people saved at camp and in that service down there. This week, don't think I had anybody saved. But I'm glad I can get up and no matter what congregation I'm in and say there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. I believe there's somebody here this morning. You need to get in. You just need to get in. You're here at church this morning in body. You just need to get in. You need to get in. I'm glad that night at Nebo Baptist Church when I fell on my face as an 18-year-old boy, that they didn't sit me down and say, sorry, young man. Heaven's all full. It's all the blood of Jesus can't forgive nobody else. It just took care of my sins, got me reservations and glory just like that. There's room for everyone. God was the architect and He designed that thing so that anybody could get in. But I want you to notice secondly this morning, that thing was watertight. God told Noah, He said, Noah, I want you to pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, you know what pitch is, or was, or still is? It's melted down tar. Just black tar melted down. Now, brother, if you want to keep something from leaking, it's like what's what we call that black mani. It's why I don't know what they call it nowadays, but all it is tar melted down. And brother, you put that stuff on something, and it puts a coat of rubber on there, solid about that thick. And when it dries, there ain't no water going through there. He said, Noah, you put all that stuff on the inside. You take you one of them big old brushes, and you swipe it on the inside. You swipe it on the outside. And brother, that thing was not going to leak. No water could get in. The water out there was a type of the judgment of God. That pitch sealed that ark, and none of that water could get in. Now, you would think, if it's me and you writing the Bible, we'd just say He pitched it without, wouldn't we? But He pitched it within and without. Nothing on the inside could get out. Nothing on the outside could get in. That thing was absolutely watertight. That word pitch comes from the word kopher, K-O-P-H-E-R, and that word means atonement. Think about that. And brother, that word means the atonement. And brother, they said that thing kept the judgment of God out and sealed the saints of God in. It kept Noah and his family in safe and dry, and it kept the judgment of the waters of the flood out. Now, I'm glad when you get in Jesus Christ this morning, you're sealed. You can't get out. The world can't get in. The judgment of God can't touch us. The judgment of God can never hit us, even though we deserve it. Even though we deserve to die with the rest of the world, we are sealed. Listen, when a man's in Jesus Christ, when you come and get saved, you get in Jesus Christ. You're inside it. You're sealed with pitch. You know what that is? His blood. That same blood that seals me and you in, seals the world out. The world can't get in here tonight, this morning, because they can't come through the blood of Jesus. Me and you can't get out because we're sealed by the blood of Jesus. We're sealed in, they're sealed out. We're two different crowds. We're in, they're out. This church this morning, if this church represented salvation, his walls would be sealed with blood. And the outside wall would be sealed with blood.
and nobody could get in unless they come through that blood, and me and you could not get out because the blood seals us in. It was watertight. That's why the Bible said there is there now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, the storms may rage and the devil may howl and the winds may blow out there, but if you're in Jesus Christ this morning, brother, you're in safe and secure, and the devil can't get your soul and the world can't get your soul if you're sealed in Jesus Christ. You know what our problem is? We go by our feelings. We don't feel saved. We don't feel like we belong to the Lord. We think, well, how could I be saved if I've done this? And how could I be saved and still have these awful thoughts? And how could I be saved? I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that blood has covered your sins, you are safe, brother. You're safe. You're saved. You're saved. You're secure, and the world cannot have you. Can't do it. Brother, it may seem bad sometimes, but the world will never get you. You're watertight. You're hell-proof. That's right. Have you seen these things said? These things are waterproof. These things are fireproof. Did you know you're hell-proof if you're saved? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and some of you are going to think I'm awful. But this is a testimony that I heard. This is a testimony that I heard. I'm just repeating the testimony. This was actually said in church. I was in a testimony meeting one night, and buddy, it got good. And buddy, I mean, everybody got to shouting, and that thing went on to about 11 o'clock at night down in South Carolina. God got to moving in there. Boy, I mean, people was jumping up saying, "Whoa! I'm saved! I'm saved! I can't go to hell now! Glory to God!" I mean, it just got wild in there. People were bragging about being saved. This old boy had been in there. He hadn't been saved very long. Remember, he hadn't been saved very long. But buddy, he was full of God. And he'd been out on drugs, been wild as a buck. He's still kind of wild, but he was saved. And boy, he'd get about 3 testimonies, I think, at one service. He'd jump up and he'd say, "Glory to God! I'm saved! I ain't on drugs no more. I ain't drinking no more. Woo!" And he'd go plumb crazy. And boy, one time he got wild. He got this wild look in his eye. And he jumped up there and he said, "I'm saved!" Like that, you know? I mean, it looked like he was possessed by something. And just like he got full of God, he said, "I'm saved." He said, "I'm so saved, the devil can't do nothing about it." And right in the middle of church, everybody was sitting. I was sitting over on the organ stool. I got through preaching. I was all sweaty and everything. I was just sitting over there enjoying it. It just like the ball got rolling. That thing kept going faster and faster. And that old boy jumped up and he said, "I'm saved." He said, "I'm so saved. I could swing out over hell on a grapevine and shoot the devil a bird when I went by." That's what he said. Everybody went. And I got embarrassed and I went, "Oh, Lord. I can't believe he said that." It was awful. It was awful. And the pastor was up the pulpit and his face turned red as a pickled bean. And that pastor had, the way he handled that, I thought was real good. He said, "Well, I guess if you're going to shoot anybody one, it ought to be the devil." Amen! And boy, after that we got tickled, you know, and we started laughing. But I'll tell you what, buddy, That was the wrong thing. Guy shouldn't talk like that at all. But he was sincere. He really was. I mean, that boy meant every word of it. He wasn't trying to be nasty or ugly. He meant it. He was sincere. He loved the Lord. But I tell you what, brother, that's just how secure we are. We're watertight. We're in Jesus. The world can't get in and we can't get out. But not only that, 3, let me say something about this ship. God was in it. God was in it. You did notice that, didn't you? You did notice when it got time for the flood in that next chapter, chapter 7, verse 1 and 2 along in there. You know what? When it got time for the flood, you know what the Lord said? "Noah, come thou and all thy family into the ark." Why didn't God say, "Go thou into the ark"? God said, "Come thou." The Lord was in there waiting on him. He was in the ark, man. It wasn't like God was up here in heaven saying, all right, the judgment's going to fall. Get in that ark, boy, if you want to be saved. God ain't going to tell you to go nowhere where He ain't done went in front of you. And the Lord was in the ark saying, come on in, Noah. The weather's fine in here. And I got the temperature just right. And everything's going to be cool. I mean, we're going to make it through this flood. And brother, when the word came, God said, come in. He was in there waiting. That meant no worry in there. That meant no problem in there. I wouldn't mind going in there if I knew God was in there and going to take care of me, would you? Now listen, the Bible said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, when Jesus Christ walked by the shores of Galilee and stuck out His hand and said, whosoever will, that was God in Him saying, come in. When Jesus Christ healed the multitudes out there and the people thronged around Him, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. When Jesus Christ went and fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, God was in Him. He was in Him. When He gave sight to the blind, it was God in Jesus Christ calling people. Let me tell you this morning, God's in Jesus. When we say come to Jesus Christ, you're getting in the ark. That's where God is. You can't get to God except through Jesus Christ. That brings me to my next point. The next point, number 4, is there was only one door. Who in the world has ever heard of a ship that big with only one door? Hear this building is here, 1/4 as long as the ark, and we've got 7 doors in here this morning, and 4 of those double glass doors going out, and 2 metal doors going out over there, and I don't know how many doors this place has got all around this building, and it's 1/4. Who ever heard of a 450 foot long boat only having one door? Hey, you say, what if it had caught on fire? It ain't gonna catch on fire. God's in there. You say, well, what if it had a stampede? The Lord is in there. You don't have to worry about it. You say, well, what if there wouldn't have been all about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. They'd had everything they needed in there, and God made it that way to show us there was only, listen, that great big old high flying eagle, if he was going to be saved from that flood, he had to come down and go in that door. That old snapping turtle, if he was going to miss the flood, he had to crawl up. The snake came in the same door the eagle came in. The big shots and the little shots all come in the same door. God only made one door. God didn't make a big old landing up here and say, all right, all you highfalutin' birds up here, land down here, and all you scum and you snails and you creepy crawling creatures, crawl in this little hole over here. He made one door. They all got in the same way. Now listen, the world's religions this morning, they try to tell you that God's got about 25 doors to heaven, and just as long as you're sincere and just as long as you really believe what you say you do, you'll make it through one of them doors. Wrong. God has one door. Jesus said, I am the door. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brother, it matters not whether, listen, you say, well, what about people who grew up in China or Korea and they worship Buddha all their life? God only made one door. You say, what about people in Africa who grew up worshiping trees and rocks and animals, or India where they worship sacred cows and rats? God only made one door. One door, one door, one door into heaven. If you're here this morning, you took Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've made it in the door. And if you haven't, you've not made it in the door. I don't care how good you are, how much good you've done in your community. I don't care how much money you give to charitable causes. I don't care if you give your body to be burned. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've not made it in. Now listen, over in Syria many, many years ago, a fella observed this guy keeping sheep. And he seen this big fence all the way around the sheepfold. And all the sheep were in there feeding. But he noticed there wasn't no door. And it kind of confused him. There wasn't any hinges. There wasn't any door. And so he come up and asked the shepherd. He said, how in the world do you keep from losing your sheep? He said, there's no door. He said, that, yeah, I don't understand that. You got a fence all the way around it, but there's no door. And the shepherd told him this. He said, listen, He said, what you don't understand is, he said, every night when it comes time, I count all my sheep. I make sure everybody's in, everybody's satisfied. And he said, I laid down right across this open way right here. And he said, I make sure that none of my sheep get out. And he said, I make sure that no wolves or nothing get in. He said, I am the door. He said, I am what keeps my sheep in, and I am what keeps the predators out. And I thought that, read that, I thought, hallelujah, glory be to God, that's the way Jesus is. He didn't say, I'll open my door for you and let you in. He said, I am the door. He's the one that lays across the open place. He's the one that keeps us in. He's the one that keeps the devil out. And brother, we belong to Him. We're His sheep. Thank God there was only one door. But then let me say number five this morning, quickly. There was only one window. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, it talks about us seeing Jesus. You know what God done? He put one door in the side of that ark. He put one window right straight out the top. Who in the world ever heard of anybody putting a window, one window right in the top of a boat? You know why that was? So they could look up there and they could see. They couldn't see the judgment around them. They couldn't see the bleeding, dying, drowning world in the wrath of God. They could just look up to the heavens and see where it come from. And brother, that is a picture of how me and you will never be able. Listen, while the storms are raging outside of us tonight, this morning, me and you can just keep looking up. God made it possible that we can look up under the hills from whence cometh our help. Are you having burdens and problems this morning? Quit looking around you. Quit looking at your circumstances. Quit looking at the economy. Quit looking at the unemployment rate. Look up this morning. There's where the answer is. The Parker family sings, and the world's gathering storms cannot make me afraid, for I can shout without a doubt I'm saved. But if they could look in there, they could hear them floods a crashing and the trees a falling. They could hear houses going down the river, but they couldn't see it. They could look up out that window and say, the world's gathering storms cannot make me afraid. I can shout without a doubt I'm saved. They were in that ark, no matter how bad it sounded outside. Noah and his family, bless your heart, was safe from the storms outside. I'm glad we can be that way too, ain't you? I'm glad there was a window. Not only that, hut number six, it contained enough food for everyone on board. Listen, when God invites you to a picnic, He's already got lunch packed. And brother, in Genesis 6:21, He talks about the food they took in there. He kept them all healthy and without sickness or death. I'm saying to you this morning, friend, God has everything you need from the time you start your Christian journey till the time you dock in safety's port over on the other side. God's got everything you need. Listen, we may not be all we're supposed to be, but God never has let one of His young'uns do without something that they need. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Listen, whatever Noah and his family needed in that ark, God gave it to them. God prepared it for them. He made sure they were fed. He made sure the food wasn't poisoned. He made sure they had something. I'm glad on this Christian journey that you and I are on, while the storms is out there raging, that God drops us down manna from heaven and brother feeds us along the way and keeps us going. Ain't you? I'm glad we can get in the book and get some of that daily manna every day. I'm glad we can come to church like we have this morning and feast off the riches of the goodness and grace of God. There's enough food for everyone. Number seven, and lastly, it was safe and sound when the flood was over. All that I want is in Jesus. He satisfies. His joy He supplies. Life would be worthless without Him. All things in Jesus I find. They sung a while ago, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. I'm telling you this morning, whatever you need this morning, He is. Somebody's here this morning having family problems. I'll guarantee it. And you're home just about to break up, or maybe already have, and your life is turmoil. And let me tell you where the answer is. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want me to tell you? You know what Jesus said? Do whatsoever you'd have men do unto you, do also unto them. If every married couple in here would just do what Jesus said right there, it could fix your marriage problems. Treat each other the way you want to be treated. Be nice and filled with love and kindness and love that wife like you want her to love you. He's all you need. You say, well, I've not got security in my soul. He can give you that too. He can help you know where you're going when you die. Whatever your problem is this morning, He's got the answer. He not only has the answer, He is the answer. He was safe and sound when the flood was over. You know something? They said, I believe it was D.L. Moody, I told you this the other day. They said, as he was dying, he said those four words, and he said something about, all I need is Jesus, and Jesus Christ is what I need. Jesus Christ will be the main one. He'll be the one you call on as you draw your dying breath. They said that Evangeline Booth had one man, among a lot of other people, one man made such a spiritual impression on her life. She said, this man loved God, loved Jesus so much that he left a lasting impression upon her. She said that man kept mentioning the Lord. That's all he talked about. And he got sick and started dying. And he said the Lord just kept coming out of every word that opened out of his mouth. Every time he opened his mouth, every word that came out was, I love him. I love him. He's great. He's wonderful. And they found a legal document that man had to sign to make it correct. And just before he died, they brought him that legal document. And they said, we've got to have your signature. He was barely able to sit up in bed and took the pen and they watched him sign it. And as soon as he signed it, he flopped back in the bed and died and went into eternity. And they said, we're glad we got his signature. And look, at lo and behold, something had just took over his mind. And he didn't write his name. He wrote down Jesus. The name above all names. I mean, the guy couldn't even think. Let me tell you something, bud. When it comes time to die, you won't even think about who you are or what you are. Only one name matters when it comes to death crossing. It's not how many sermons you preached or how many songs you sang, how many tracts you gave out, or how many of this. Listen, brother, listen. When that time comes, we throw all of our righteousness overboard and say, it's Him. It's Him. Thank God it's Him. Listen, we may disagree on things. I'm sure a lot of us men in here, if we got down and studied the Bible, we'd find lots of little old nitpick areas that we might personally disagree on. I'll tell you one thing we agree on this morning. We know that He is the answer. He is the one. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Now, I'll guarantee you, if the Lord don't come in my lifetime and I die, one of these days I'm going to be drawing my last breath. And somebody's going to come and they'll say, well, Brother Danny, you've preached all these years and you've done this and you've done that. It won't even enter my mind because I'm going to think about all my low-down wicked sins that would cancel out every good thing I've ever done. A thousand times over. My buddy, when I get ready to die, I'm going to say, all right, Lord, I'm ready to make the crossing. I remember that night when I took You as my Savior. Now here I go and reach out and He'll take me over. Now I'll land safely on that spiritual Mount Ararat over there. When the flood's gone down, we'll be safe and sound. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea no more. Though tempest may come over the wild, stormy deep or something like that, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Listen, just as sure as Noah and them fellas made it out and parked the ark on Ararat, me and you's going to pull in one day safe and sound. We're going to make it, people. We're going to make it, I said. We're going to make it one day, glory to God. We're going to make it. We'll make it. How's the captain sailing our ship will dock it in one day. The old ship of Zion will land safely. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I preached to you this morning about the perfect ship. Just as Noah and his folks got on board, we're asking you this morning to get on board. Just as Noah and his family got on the ark, we're asking you this morning to come to Jesus Christ. Has there ever been a time in your life
when you know that you've come to the ark. And you're in this morning. You're in by faith. Are there a Christian here this morning? Maybe that your life's all in turmoil and all messed up. You need to come down here, get some things right with God. Maybe you've been doubting and the devil's got you all tore up. Get down here. Listen, get down here and get some safety this morning. Get down here and get secure. Thank God. Others may need to come. Some's already coming. Dear God, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, you didn't tell Noah to get all fixed up and have to quit this or that and have to put him on a tie or anything like that before he could come in the ark. Lord, he had already found grace in your eyes and you told him to come in. Now, Lord, I pray that those here this morning will hear that same invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. Dear God, bring them in this morning. Save that soul that needs to be saved. If there's one here this morning that don't know for a fact they're in, help them to settle that issue this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing the first.